let's go ahead and open our Bibles to Revelation chapter 21. And we've been so thankful of the revealing of glory. Hallelujah. And we're seeing these things come to pass. And this is the glory that by the grace of God we're receiving now to be for Him. And how wonderful it's been to watch this city descending from heaven, this new Jerusalem, the lively stones, hallelujah, of the Lord, all assembled, put perfectly in their place. They were completed here exactly for the place that they would take in heaven. And how wonderful that we have been rejoicing again in His truth, His mercy, His grace that's revealed in this new Jerusalem. Now, once again, this city that descends from heaven, having the glory of God, this is at the end of the millennial time. So now we're into the eternal age. And thanks be to God of what joy and rejoicing and this glimpse of the exceeding riches of His grace in the ages to come in His kindness to us. What a privilege and what a wonder it is what the Spirit can reveal to our hearts. But let's go ahead and begin tonight, chapter 21, and let's read verse 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Now we come to these 12 gates, and we notice that each one is a pearl. Well, if we take the size of that city, these pearls, each one of them are 14,000 miles high. 1,400 miles high. It doesn't matter, 1,400, 14,000. It's a big pearl, and it's a big gate. And we thank God of these gates of the city. But how glorious is the meaning that these are of pearl? And how wondrous it is, the entrance of the city, the fulcrum of the city, if you will, the pearly gates, as we've heard, leading into what? The pearl of great price, the Lamb's wife. And it's just all there. I thank God how even in the natural, we've learned that a pearl is formed with an irritation that happens with the clam or the shell. And it's through suffering that this beauty comes forth. And it's through suffering, praise God, that we receive such eternal glory with Him. And how wonderful that that is so prominent here in many of the meanings of this these pearly gates. So no matter how you enter it, you're going to see the pearl of great price. Because the bride, the Lamb's wife, is His glory for all the ages to see. And I thank God of what an entrance it's going to be. Now notice, every gate is of one pearl. Once again, we start again with this oneness of the perfection in Christ. We have every gate was one pearl. We have one street, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were, transparent glass. This is beautiful as well, too. One street, one way. And He is the way, the truth, and the life. Pure gold. Only the Lord. It's only going to be His way. You'll notice as we've been studying this, that's the, in a sense, the mineral that you see. You see gold. We know that there's silver. We know silver speaks of redemption. But we don't see that wonderful, precious metal in heaven at this time. Redemption, praise God, has been finished. It's done. Isn't that wonderful? So now all that's left is the gold. Praise God, the deity, the ruling, the reigning, that all of the gold that was of the cherubim, the mercy seat, the beaten gold that formed that oneness and made that oneness with Him. It's just so wonderful. Here it is on display. Now, again, this is the deity, the ruling and reigning, speaking again of the value. And then once again, to think how this is transparent gold. How many has ever seen transparent gold? This is gold so fine you see through it. But this speaks of that it's all revealed. You can see the ranks. You can see the order. The kingdom is spectacular, but you see right through it, praise God, to the king and the queen as they reign eternally forever. It's an amazing, beautiful picture of what's going on. Now, we're journeying. What's wrong with my tongue tonight? We're going in, how's that? A little bit further into that city. You got to pray for me sometimes. I get a little bit too excited about talking about this. So, it says here, verse 22, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. How beautiful. This is just, culminating in such glory. So there's no temple in the city. God and the Lamb are the temple in it. Now, all throughout Revelation, we have been encouraged in seeing this temple in heaven. We've seen the temple and heard of the temple at the time of the tribulation and through it, the temple during the millennial time. But now, and thinking of that temple, the Lord and the bride kept going in and out of the temple with judgment during that tribulation time. Wonderful. Speaks of such power and such worship that would go on in that place. But this new Jerusalem, when all evil is put away, there's no going to be no need for judgment anymore, no need for a temple, because God and the Lamb are it. They're all in all. You think of the temple in the Old Testament, again in the millennial, it was a place of worship, but that's no longer needed, because everything about New Jerusalem is worship. Praise God. It's worship. All of it is worship. It's drawing nigh in fervent love to kiss. It is that worship. Praise God to Him. And then, as we go on, how wonderful. And it says in verse 23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Now, we're probably going to park here for the rest of the night. And I pray that we're just going to go right up there tonight to enjoy this glory and this splendor. But so here's what it's saying. There's no more splendor in a sense of the skies, because the splendor is everything of the Lord. The reigning luminaries of day and night have been... again, retired, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. As we begin this tonight, let's remember how this presentation of New Jerusalem started. Back in verse 10 and 11 of this 21st chapter, this was John saying, and he carried me away in spirit to a great and high mountain. He showed me that city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious. So, again, to bring this into focus, what he's been shown here is, I'm going to show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And in showing him the bride, the Lamb's wife, he sees this holy New Jerusalem city descending from heaven, having the glory of God. This is her, having the glory of God. Read within the context of what, again, has been stated and said, and so, in a sense, highlighted in earlier verses in this chapter. And I think it will really cause our hearts to lay hold of what's going on here. The Lamb is the lamp. The Lamb is the fire. The illuminating candle that through the vessel lightens everything with His glory. And brothers and sisters, He does that now as we are lights in this world, because His light lightens us. But thanks be to God, there's even more splendor over yonder. Now, as we begin this tonight, let's go on back to the Old Testament to see, again, the beauty of these lamps that we're speaking of here, this glory, this light, and really what this is. So, again, we're focusing right now on that phrase, for the glory of God did lighten it. The glory of God did lighten it. Let's go over to Ezekiel. And this in chapter 1, we'll begin reading from verse 10. This is the four cherubim. These are those living ones. Ezekiel got such a wonderful glimpse and a vision of these full overcomers in Christ. This is the cherubim. Verse 10, as for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side, and the four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces. And their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went every one straight forward whither the Spirit was to go. See, they walked right in the Spirit. They went. They turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. So here we see that there is such brilliance, and that these four living ones are actual lamps. They're lit up. They're on fire. There's a brightness. The glory of God rests upon the cherubim. Hallelujah. And we'll read that here in Hebrews in just a moment. It is the glory of God which is all about them. And they're lit up with that glory. Praise God. Now, turn on over to chapter 10 of this same Ezekiel. Let's get more encouragement of the glory that comes up from the cherubim. And we'll begin reading from verse 1 in chapter 10. It says, "Then I looked up, and behold, in the firmament, which was above the head of the cherubims, appeared over them as it were a sapphire stone, as the appearance of the likeness of a throne. And he spake unto the man clothed with linen, and said, Go in between the wheels, even under the cherub, and fill thine hand with the coals of fire from between the cherubims." See, there's fire, there's light, there's warmth, and scatter them over the city. And he went in my sight. Now the cherubim stood on the right side of the house when the man went in, and the cloud filled the inner court. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub. Isn't that something? The glory of the Lord went up from the cherubim and stood over the threshold of the house. And the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of brightness of the Lord's glory. My goodness, what comes forth out of them cherubim. And the sound of the cherubim's wings were heard even to the outer court as the voice of the Almighty God when he speaks. She even speaks like him. We've been reading that all throughout Revelation. Why would she not? Because she's like him. She rules and reigns jointly with him. She's of that same mind. She's of the same one voice. And she gives the same commands as they jointly rule and reign together. Praise God what Ezekiel saw. Again, if you did not know Paul's gospel, what would all of this mean? Why is it here? Because we know Paul's gospel. And in knowing Paul's gospel, you know Revelation. And in knowing Revelation, my goodness, that wonderful Spirit through that chosen vessel unto him, and that message of the mystery that was hidden from the prophets and the angels wanted to look into. Here it is all revealed. And praise be to God, I have to say, it's just like a cookie on a shelf. Amen. Now, let's go on. In understanding this and seeing how beautiful that Ezekiel, especially in this 10th chapter, the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub. Listen to that. And the full of the brightness of the Lord's glory was all through the court because of those cherubim and the glory, praise God, that they contained of him. And why? Think of what we just read. Not to get off on another Bible study, but it is this Bible study. Because they walk in the Spirit. They don't walk in their own might. They don't walk in, well, we think we need to go this way. They have straight feet. And wherever the Spirit goes, that's where they go. That's right. And let me tell you something. Where the Spirit goes, it is not a popular way. It's not a popular way in Christianity where the Spirit goes. Christians, so how could you say that? Because the Bible tells me that. Because men will not endure sound doctrine. Well, who's that even speaking to? That's speaking to Christians. Christians will at least endure some doctrine. But will they endure sound doctrine? Huh? Itching ears for anything but the word of God. Silly ones that would be led away with lies and fables. God help us to be about the one thing. The one thing. And that's not, oh my, hurts my heart so much. Because usually the default is, you think you're better. The default from, oh, you're just being arrogant. You just think that you're just so high and mighty in your knowledge. That's the absolute opposite. He must increase and I must decrease. It's what he wants us to have. It's right there. Why will you not be still and listen to the word of the Lord? Why must we fight? Could we just sit down and read? No, I don't want to hear that. I just want to read the word of God with you. What would this say in Jesus' name by the Spirit to you? I don't want to hear that. Then it's evident, is it not? Amen. All right. Now, let's go on in understanding by the Spirit through Paul's gospel. I mentioned it a little bit earlier tonight before we started. That was what was so sweet to my heart. I thank God as ones are seen. None of this would make any sense. All these stories, all of this intimacy. Think of that communion and dialogue between the Shulamite and the king. Just how intimate that language is. And it's not that she's always just praising him and his beauty. The focus of it becomes that he is ravished by her beauty. It's his compliments. It's his words about her and how she has ravished his heart. It all started the other way where she was ravished by him. And how beautiful. But you're just so beautiful. I've got to do something of myself. She didn't get it. He came to the door to take her. Well, wait a second. I got to get ready. No, you don't. You be ready in me. You be ready in me. I love you. Hallelujah. And truly, I love you just the way you are. All my grace. All my grace. But then, as she takes that grace and as she comes after him, and just completely submits to him and his workmanship upon her life. It's so wonderful how it becomes that his heart is ravished. And it's his desire toward her. And finally she gets it. I am my beloved's. I'm his. And his desire is toward me. Does that bring it in a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more? She's glory to him. I want to be glory to him. I don't want to go to heaven and just behold the glory. I want to be his glory. I want to adorn him, hallelujah, with all the grace. All grace, because he's given all grace. And if this little vessel can take all grace and be that to him, by the grace of God, that's what I want to be. Amen. All right. So now let's go on and get some more understanding through that chosen vessel, the chief of sinner, who is given to us. That one who is given the dispensation of this marvelous truth. Let's start tonight in Romans chapter 9, verse 23. Once again, speaking about the glory that he wants us to be for him. All right? So go over to Romans chapter 9, verse 23. That he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. Let me tell you something. Your life's got a glory plan. Ages past, it was glory for him. Listen to that again. That he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy. Isn't that something? Didn't say on the working vessels. Didn't say on the vessels that are just going to, you know, do it this way and really hold on to the end. The vessels of glory are going to be his vessels of mercy. They couldn't be anything else because they're part of the mercy seat. Are they not, cherubim? The mercy seat, one piece of beaten gold, and out of that mercy seat came the two cherubims. Boom. Right? The lid on the ark. Praise God. All there, always seen, always in the Holy of Holies. The intimacy was set forth before the world began. Praise God. What a love story. This was his heart. This was he anticipated. This is why he's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now. Is it time? Father, is it time? Can I go get her? So true. Know this in your heart. Praise God. So what we have here is what is known as the plan. The plan that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared into glory. Go on over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Many other verses in the Bible we can go through, but just a little consolidation tonight of this glory that shall be revealed in you. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 7. It says, therefore, a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image of the glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. The woman is the glory of the man. Okay, now we have the purpose. And the purpose is, it's not good for man to live alone, son. Jesus will have, not is going to have, Jesus will have a wife. He will have a wife. The purpose of this. Go on over to Ephesians. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 1, we receive here the provision given. Chapter 1, verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. And what is that? What the riches of the glory of his inheritance, where? In the saints. It's in you. The glory's in you. Amen. That's why she has the glory of God. She descends from heaven having the glory of God. It's in her. All because of the grace of God. That's why we have the wonderful hymns, Grace and Glory. But it's the glory of his grace. Hallelujah. Now, how wonderful that that's the provision that we have is to know this. And to know what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. This is the mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What, hallelujah, in this age, in this day, what he wants us to be for him, to him, with him, in him. Amen? Amen. All right. Praise God. Turn the page over to Ephesians 3:16. Because we need power. We need power, Holy Ghost power. And in chapter 3, and it's hard not to read the whole chapter in this chapter and that chapter, but just got to get concise. In verse 16, that he would grant you, see, here's the grace again, according to the riches of his glory. Isn't that amazing how he continues to say the riches of his glory? In the ages to come, the exceeding riches of his grace. The riches of his glory. And this means the exceeding abundant above all we ask or think riches. These are words in the Greek that are so beyond our English. They're so compacted with all of this much the more. But the Holy Ghost can bring that to your heart. But in verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. So see, that's what those riches do. They strengthen, hallelujah, with might, the power of his might, the Holy Ghost in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, settle in marriage in your heart, that he being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, there's that knowledge, with all saints, what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. How awesome! How wonderful! It's the knowledge of the riches of His glory that strengthens the inner man. See the power of the knowledge? Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, without knowing Him, you're never going to get strengthened. You're never going to get this heart that's ravished. You're not going to get that heart like Paul that said, if by any means I might attain to that resurrection, that out resurrection, that first trump rapture. That's why I'll just say this, when you visit with most of your family of God. Huh? What? And it isn't in a condescending way. It's frustration because it's for us. We're of the family of God. This is what He died for, bled for, lived for, ascended for, hallelujah, and is waiting for. You talk about long suffering. I'm in love with Him, but that still can't compare with how He's in love with her. Think of that long suffering to get her. Praise God. All of this time, ages past time. He's long suffering, isn't He? Oh, what love wherewith we are loved. But see, that's the knowledge of the riches of His glory that strengthens the inner man. That's why we press on, isn't it? The riches of His glory. And it's not the riches of heaven. It's not like, oh yeah, I'm going to go get my mansion and I'm going to go get my gold and boo, boo. No, it's the riches of His glory. It's His grace. It's that grace. It's this Lamb that loves me so much that has done everything that it explodes my heart, my mind. But yet by His Spirit, I consist and I hold together. Through everything. You talk about that all-sufficient grace. Isn't it marvelous? Kept us through the years. Keeps us through heartbroken times. Times where it just looked like everything was gone. Destroyed. But God. He's on my side. Hallelujah. So the knowledge of the riches of His glory strengthens the inner man to know. And to believe what? What? The love of Christ. To know the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. See, I got to know that love. I got to know Him. I got to know His heart for me. And that's the riches of His glory. Grace. Grace is the riches of His glory. There's nothing else. There's nothing else. And it's just abounding in that grace in the ages to come, the exceeding riches of His grace. That's the glory. Yes. Thank you, God. It's going over to Colossians chapter 1. Verse 27. Oh my. Oh, we got to back up to verse 26. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations. So this mystery has been hid from people. Amen. But now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory? Well, that's a theme, is it not? The riches of His glory. The riches of His glory. The riches of His grace. The riches of His glory. Of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, man. It's the riches of His glory, the riches of His glory, the riches of glory. And by the way, here's the mystery. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You can't even fathom what we are to Him. Woo! The hair's popping off the arms tonight, huh? Going to be called the hairless wonder. Praise God. But see, once again, the knowledge of the riches of His glory is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Yes, yes. The hope of it all. And that's an expectation. That's not an if. That's the expectation. That's what He expects. That we all come, right? Yes, all. That all men even would be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. In chapter 2, verse 10. Here's Paul and his ministry and what it was all about. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake. So it was for the saints. This wasn't a mission. This was precise for the saints. This was for ones that knew the Lord. Therefore, I endure all things for you, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Jesus Christ with eternal glory. How marvelous. How awesome. That, again, Paul's whole message in his ministry, that the elect of God, God's chosen, would obtain salvation with eternal glory. Let's just take a break over in Hebrews for one moment to bring us back and to tie it back into Ezekiel, where we were tonight as we started. And in Hebrews 9, verse 3, we'll begin there. And after the second veil of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had the manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of glory. The cherubims of glory. Shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. That's all that's going to be spoken particularly of in the ages to come. But they're of glory. Everything about the four living ones, the full overcomers, the bride of Christ, it's His glory. It's who she is. This is what she is. And she's bright and she's burning and she's the lamp that is lit up with Him. Amen. One star different from another in glory. Amen. Sun glory from within. How awesome. Let's kind of tie this all together tonight. Going over now back to Revelation chapter 4. This was only mentioned of the four beasts that give this to Him. We pointed this out many, many weeks back, many months back now. But in Revelation chapter 4, verse 9. And when those four beasts, the cherubim, right? The four living ones, give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever. And those 24 cast their crowns before the throne. Not the four living ones, not those beasts. But notice what we started with. And when those beasts give glory. They're the only ones that are spoken of in Revelation that give him glory. As it says, there will be ones that come to behold the glory, that praise him for his glory. But this company gives him glory. It's marvelous, brothers and sisters. I want to be of those living ones, the bride that give him glory. Not behold the glory, but give him something they bestow to him. As we read earlier, the woman is the glory of man. To give something that belongs to another, the bride descends from heaven having the glory of God. Oh, what she gives to him. She gives him his glory. She gives him his rightful glory. She gives him herself. His glory. Yes, amen. And that is why, as you rejoice in Romans 8 for many things, but in Romans 8:17, where it says, "And joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." Isn't it wonderful? Exalted to the same glory with Christ, with her husband. And only a wife can take that honor with a husband. Now, by the grace of God, do we see in context of where we started tonight in chapter 21, she has the glory of God. She's got the glory of God. The lamps that were spoken of the cherubim by the prophets, but most of all tonight, we read that Paul's gospel of the glory of his grace, she lights him and the city up because he is the light of her. Philippians chapter 2. And we're just going to close with these last couple thoughts. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Here we go. And remember, the Philippians are the runners. Those are the ones that win. Those Philadelphia horses incensed to win him. And here we go. Verse 12. "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear," that means reverence to your husband, "and trembling, the fulfillment of duty. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." Brothers and sisters, where it says shine as lights in the world, that means appear as stars in the heavenly host. And as it says there, holding forth the word of life, that's translated to have and to hold the word of life. I'm sure if you've ever been to a wedding, to have and to hold. So we'll conclude tonight. The glory of the Lamb's wife did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light of her life. Praise God. Let's pray.